are down to the last installment of our series called Dare to Believe. As we end this series, this installment that we have is actually special. Okay, this is rather special simply because today is our volunteer weekend. It's actually the day during the year wherein we sign up for the different service ministries. Okay, so if you happen to join us for the first time here, we do this every year, once a year. We gather a group of people to sign up in the different ministries. And naka-color code actually yung mga t-shirt namin. Yellow right here of Patrick, that's for the kids' church. And red is for the communications ministry. So guess what I'm wearing right here? This is basically for musically inclined people. Yours truly. This is just by accident. They just basically gave me this shirt. But anyway, it's our volunteer weekend. And I don't know with you, but if you haven't volunteered in this church yet, this is the best opportunity that you have. I'm going to run through the different service ministries a while ago. So having said that, I want us to understand that because this is a special Sunday, what I'm going to do here is more of me journeying us into the different stories that we have had in the past. In fact, I have some pictures here of the different volunteers that we have. We have some people here who have been serving this church for a good number of years. Wait a minute, if you're here and you've been with Victory for at least 10 years now, Victory Dumaguete, can you please lift your hand for a while? Just raise your hand. You've been with Victory Dumaguete. Thank you so much for sticking it out with us. You guys are just so fantastic. Hindi ko alam how you get to bear so many, you know, troubles here in this church. But anyway, yeah, I have here some pictures of some of our very wonderful volunteers. These are throwback pictures, and that's why I'm telling you this is a special Sunday. And the first one, look at this guy right here. There's Adonis. I think that's like, I don't know, 50 pounds. 50 pounds ago. In fact, last December, we honored some of our volunteers. And he has been serving this ministry for at least 8 years now. Consistently, okay, being in the music team. He started off as one of our acoustic guitarists. Okay, sesionista. So Adonis, afterwards, you know what, eventually, he became our worship leaders a couple of years ago. Who are blessed with the life of this man? Come on. I think the picture below is one of our church anniversaries. I forgot when. This church, by the way, is celebrating its 15-year anniversary. That's going to be on February 28th, so it's the best time to invite your friends. We're not going to have any service here. Okay, we're going to have one service at the Negros Oriental Convention Center. Okay, on February 28th. So please pencil that out. This is one of our anniversaries. There's Adonis right there. And if you notice, the t-shirt of the guy beside him says Youth on Fire. Okay, before we called our campus ministry ENC, Every Nation Campus, or before we called it Lifebacks. You guys know what Lifebacks is. I don't know why they named it that way. But anyway, before it was called Lifebacks or ENC, okay, we were called Youth on Fire. Can you imagine that? We needed to change the name, okay, into something better, ENCM, during that time, simply because some parents are wondering where their kids are going. Because if they ask their kids, where are you going? You're going to go to Yo Jump. We call it Yo Jump, to Youth Jump. What is that group? It's called Youth on Fire. What? Our kids are going to be set on fire, something like that. So, natatakot po yung mga parents. So, tinanggal naman namin ng konting fire na lang. Okay, so, and the picture above, that's our former music team. And I don't know if you recognize any of them. That's my brother-in-law, actually. The one standing right beside the guy in blue. Okay, the guy in blue. So that's my brother-in-law. His name is Ryan. Right now, he's in Riyadh, serving a church in Every Nation Riyadh, okay, in Saudi Arabia. And some of them are in Bacolod. Some of them are in Cagayan de Oro. Some of them are in Butuan now. And the guy seated beside Adonis is our regional director for KSA, our movement in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Okay, please pray for that guy, the one seated right beside Adonis. He has been imprisoned twice already in Saudi because of his faith. So it's because of his faith and his foolishness. But anyway, all right, if you notice, I think Chivas is right there. After his short stint in the music ministry, he joined PDA, Pinoy Dream Academy. Okay, so he made it, okay? Most likely because of his looks. Okay, next picture that I have here is our finance director right here. If you don't know her, she's the one roving around with the red hair. Her name is Charmaine. When she was in high school, she was already part of the church. And you know, this is how small the church was before. The church was so small that this room was in Agape Room in Bethel. Bethel Guest House. If you know that room, it's actually a small room. It's just like, I think you guys on this side can fit in that room. Okay, pag dinagdag ko pa to, hindi na tayo kasha. And so Charmaine was a high school student in the Ramon Tevez Memorial Science High School when she joined the church. And she has been in the church consistently serving before I invited her to become a full-time admin staff of this church last year. Okay? And I think I have some more pictures. Do you have some more? Oh, yeah. That's my wife right there. That's Rianne. That's in one of our leadership conversions. In leadership conversions, nakaupo kami sa kids' chair. All right? So, I think this was in 2005. We don't have a center yet during that time, so we would meet in the lawn of Pastor Donnie, and that's where he's gonna give his leadership perspective from so many resources, and we're just so glad that we joined Victory that year. And hindi pa kami item niyan, ha? Hindi pa kami item ni Rian yan. So, friends na friends lang kami yan. So, ibig sabihin, malamang yung mapapakasalan nyo, nandyan lang. Okay, nasa paligid nyo lang. Alright, so tingin lang ng konti. Okay, wait lang ng konti. Definitely, we know that Dumaguete City, there's a wide and deep pool of talents here. And what I want us to understand here this morning, and even if this is your first time, is this one. It would be best for us if we put our talents into good use. It would be best for us if all together, collectively, we put our talents into good use. And it's going to be beneficial for our spiritual walk with regards to our relationship with God and basically for our character as well. And I have here some of the pictures of the current ministries that we have, those serving right now. My first one is the ushering ministry. They're the ones greeting you here every single Sunday. So every single Sunday, if you're an usher, can you please proudly wave your hand? I used to be an usher, and we always say this in the ushering ministry, once an usher, always an usher. All right, so there they are. And I think the next one I have here are the kids. And I want you to catch this, and you might have observed that we are renovating our kids' church. Okay, we're beefing it up, we're putting some staff inside. Why? Because in this ministry, if you happen to join us for the first time, I want you to understand this. We put a premium on the next generation. Our kids' church, we call it a church, we don't call it a daycare. Okay, folks, catch that. It's a big difference between the two. Meaning to say, they have their own praise and worship. They have their own preaching of the word. They have their own discipleship. We disciple the next generation. Okay, if you're a kids' church teacher, we applaud you for what you're doing. The next one that I have here, the music people, the music team. I'm glad that we're coming to a point in the ministry right now we're in. We have such an anointed bunch of people leading our worship. Amen. That anointing basically is coming off from a position of humility. And you know, we're just so proud of what God is doing in our music team. In fact, driving here, I was listening to the prophetic word for our music team. And according to the prophetic word last March, there's going to be such an anointing in our music team that they're going to begin to write songs in their own compositions. We're just so excited. In fact, they're writing some, and some of them, we've sung it here already during their special numbers. And we're just so excited with what God is going to do through this ministry. Okay, the next one that I have here is this one, the technical ministry. The guys in black right there, if you're wondering why they're wearing black, I also don't know. Just that, you know, it's a uniform. It looks good on them, basically. This guy has been sticking it with us through thick and thin. And that place right there, if you happen to go there during the middle of the services, that place right there is a pressure chamber. Okay, grabe yung pressure dyan. Okay, grabe yung pressure ni Clicker. Tama ba, Yuan? All right, so that's our technical ministry. And I'm going to explain this more a little later. And that's why, again, please bear with me. This is a special Sunday, and we're just so excited for this one. Okay, I'm going to explain what these guys are doing. I think I have another one. The communications team. These guys are the one responsible for every content that we have on social media. And these guys are responsible for taking pictures. Okay, not selfies. Okay, real pictures for that matter. And they put it online. And I've just checked our Facebook group for Victory Dumaguete. Currently, we have around 1,500 likes. So please like that page all the more. Because social media basically is a good avenue for people to get to know Jesus Christ. Amen. And that is why we're putting a premium on this one. This is not just us wanting to be relevant or something like that. We know for a fact that God has given all of this technology and gadget for the use of the advancement of His kingdom. Amen? Okay, now, I want to read for a while in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 13 to 17. Okay, this is a story of David and the three mighty men. Okay? And three of the 30 chief men went down and came about harvest time to David at the cave of Adullam, when a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then at Bethlehem. And David said longingly, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." Then the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and carried and brought it to David. But he would not drink of it. He poured it out to the Lord, last verse, and said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went at the risk of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. All right, what do we have here? Look at this one. It is very evident that David, just like the situation of Jehoshaphat and Joshua and Caleb, and guess what? The five daughters of Zelophehad. Okay, it is obvious. If you look at all four accounts, we know for a fact that this is precisely the reason why we're talking about daring to believe. Because all four accounts that we have read so far are basically talking about a person or a group of people who are in trouble. Are folks with me? Because the truth is, there's no reason for you to dare to believe if there's no opposition. If circumstances are not stacked against you, if there's much money, there's no reason for you to believe for that matter. And that is why the situation that we're looking at here are basically a group of people who are in trouble. And David was no different. David was no different. If you look at the story of David, this is one of the highlights of his life. And of course, you know, this is another trouble that he was in. The Bible is very clear. Look at this one. In verse 13, it says here, three of the 30 chief men went down and came about harvest time to David at the cave of Adullam. Here's a big question. What is he doing in the cave? What is he doing in the cave of Adullam? Okay. And the precise answer to that is this one. David was basically hiding. He was not hiding because they're playing hide and seek. He was hiding because of his enemies. Are folks catching this? All right. I don't know with you. Maybe for at a certain point in your life, you're hiding from someone. Ewan ko, baka may nagkautang ka ba? Hindi ko po alam. But basically, some things were like that, especially ladies sometimes. And I hope this doesn't happen to the men often. When you have problems, instead of facing it, sometimes you shrink back. Are folks catching me? And that is basically the situation of David. He was hiding in a cave called Adullam. And what is interesting here is this one. While he was at Adullam, the Bible says, a band of Philistines was encamped at the valley of Rephaim. Okay? So, meaning to say, David was here, and the Philistine people were basically surrounded, okay, in the valley of Rephaim. So he had an external problem, okay? I don't know with you, but guys, has it ever occurred to you, you have trouble with a group of men and then you cannot go out of your classroom? It happened to me a couple of times and I have to stay in the classroom for like 3 hours, okay, before I go out. I make them go home first. It's something like that, you know, you just cannot go out because if you go out, dead ka, you're gonna be dead. All right, so that was the situation of David. I have a map right here of the map of Adullam and Rephaim, and that is basically how it looks like. And of course, the map doesn't really look that far, but it actually has its distance between each other. But even so, you know, David wouldn't want to dare, you know, face the Philistines at that point in his life. I have here a picture of the modern-day cave of Adullam. Okay, that's the cave right there. If you notice, there are some guys below. So that's how big the cave is. All right, so that's a present-day cave of Adullam. It was in this cave that, you know what, he was hiding from the Philistines. And in fact, if you know the book of Psalm, you would come to understand that it was in this cave right here, okay, where he wrote Psalm 142. This is what David was saying. With my voice, I cry out to the Lord. With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord. Imagine the anguish of this guy. And he starts saying, I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. Verse 3, when my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. So he understands that he cannot go to Bethlehem. He cannot go to the valley of Rephaim because there is a trap. He knows he's going to die anytime he would go out of that cave. Look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. And he starts saying in verse 5, I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living, and so on and so forth. So Psalm 142 is basically a picture of David being in trouble or being in anguish for that matter. So that's why he was hiding in the cave. And the Bible says, while he was in the cave, the Bible is very clear that three men went to him. Three mighty men right here went before David, and started talking to him. Okay, started hearing him out. And if you would look at this picture right here, you would come to know that, you know what, grabe. You would basically come into a point wherein you could conclude that, you know what, you're parang hangang-hanga tayo sa three mighty men na to. I don't know with you, but sometimes when I read my Bible, whenever there's a character that comes out, because their character is in the Bible, sometimes I have a bias towards those characters. I already think whenever I read about Isaiah, you know, I always look up to Isaiah. And true enough, you know what, he's a great guy. But we need to understand that every single person listed in the Bible basically had their own troubles. They have their own issues. Who am I at a certain point in your life, you have your own issues. They have their own issues. So I want you to understand that, yes, the Bible basically would label them as mighty men. But I want you to catch this. The Bible gave a description about this man right here. The Bible gave a very clear description. Look at this one. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, it says here, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, look at this one. The Bible says, they went down to him there. All those who were distressed or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. So here's your mighty man. The Bible says, yes, they are the mighty men, but the Bible gives a description about these mighty men. The Bible says they are what? They are distressed. Not that they were just in distress. They were also in debt. May utang. And not just that, the Bible says they were discontented. Meaning to say, I'm talking about outcasts and misfits here. I'm talking about, you know, people who are like the scum of the society. And there's like 400 of men who went to David, and guess what? They made David their leader at that very point. You know, sometimes we think that the only time we could serve God is we don't have issues in our life anymore. Sometimes we feel like the only time we could serve God and the church is when the time we become perfect. Now, I tell you what, in this lifetime, you will never be perfect. In this lifetime, basically, we will never be perfect. The distressed, in debt, and discontented became David's mighty men. At the end of the day, I want us to understand this, that the God that we worship, to a certain degree, is not looking for talent. He's looking for commitment. He's looking for men and women who might want to step out in faith and dare to believe to go out there and serve him in a capacity like never before. And serving to a certain degree is inconvenient. It is uncomfortable. It takes much of your time. But for these people right here, they just did it anyway. They started serving David. Now look at this one. I have a classic group of people that basically gives us a picture that, you know what, you and me here this morning can actually serve God. And look at these guys right here, the 12 disciples of Jesus. If you would look at these guys right here, if you could spare a time to sit down one of these days and start studying their life individually, you would come to know that basically, in the world's perspective, they do not qualify, okay, to become the disciples of Jesus Christ. Folks, I want you to understand this. God is looking for people who would serve his purposes in this earth. And a lot of times, we have to understand this. God has not called the qualified, but he qualifies those he called. The first step is to basically come before God and tell God, Lord, here I am, use me. The moment God hears that from you, with all the baggages that you have, siguro kung issues lang, siguro we're in a way sa Cebu Pacific, hindi na tayo makakasakay. Excess na tayo. But God would want to bring us on board for that matter. Just like, you know, the three mighty men right here and basically the disciples of Jesus Christ. I have here a picture of a man that I truly admire. You know, John, if you know him, John is our discipleship admin. He had a very short stint in the music ministry. And it was not in those days when we have no choice or something. We really trusted him with that responsibility. And John would be the first person to tell everyone that, you know what, he is not skill-wise, he is not as good as the other guys. Are folks catching this? But what I like about this man is that when the time he felt like he want to serve in the music ministry, he went out there and tried to develop his skills. Meaning to say, he had some guys, you know, basically teach him how to sing. And the humility is basically extraordinary for that matter. When we ask him to step down and be part of another ministry, it was a non-issue to him. At the end of the day, character is important more than the skills. We trust a person who has the character more than the person who basically has the skills. That is why we're trusting this man to lead the discipleship ministry that we have in this church. Going back to the story, it talks about a cistern. And this is a cistern. A cistern is basically a storage for water. The Bible says when this happened, it was harvest time. But because it was harvest time, there was no what? There was no rain. Okay, there was no rain. Because there was no rain, there is no? Well, perfect. Ang galing yun naman. Because there was no rain, there was no water in the cistern. The cistern is like the modern day, you know, water tanks that we have. Right? So during their time, they basically put their waters and keep them in cisterns. Okay, that is a picture of a cistern, and that is where they get their drinking water. Okay, that's where basically they get their water for their cattle and stuff like that. But during that time, there was not a drop of water in the cistern. And that is precisely the reason why David was very thirsty, physically. He was very distressed. That is why he cried out. Look at this one in verse 15. He started crying out. David said longingly, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." He started asking, he started longing for water while he was in the cave. But there is a catch here. The catch here is this one. When he was saying, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate," he was so specific. He was like saying, "I want water, God, from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." And that's like kilometers away. He's like saying, "Lord, ayoko ng nature spring. Gusto ko ng Wilkins mula sa tindahan ni Tita Nenet sa pulang tubig." Are you folks catching this? He was so specific. What is happening to David here? What is happening to David? Look at this one. I want you to catch this. I want to show you some pictures that might remind you of your childhood. Okay, look at this one. The first one is this one. Oh, remember this. I think the generation Y and X remember this well. Together with the millennials, right? White Rabbit. You guys remember this? Okay, and Mick Mick. Jeremy, remember this? Pom Poms, that would remind the 80s kids. Together with the bazooka gum with comics. All right, you guys remember this? I have another one. Look at this one. Mommy has never played something like this before. For all our foreigner friends here, before iPad got into the Philippine shores, that's basically the game of the young kids. And I think I have some more. Look at this one. When we remember this, Radio Wealth. Hindi kayo makarelate, no? Yung mga 60s, 50s po, nakaka-relate po sila. Ayaw lang nila magpa-obvious. Okay? You had something like this before in your home? All right, we have another one. Surge chocolate. Okay? This is the only chocolate in the world that would basically go against M&M's and Hershey's or whatever. All right, next. Yo-yos, 1970s, 1980s. Okay, you get that free through Coca-Cola. Do you remember those times where you needed to open a Coke bottle and scrape off the cap and you get to win some prizes? All right. So we always win prizes because my mom used to own a pharmacy, so every time, you know, someone would buy Coca-Cola, I get the cup and scrape it off. But anyway, Pogs, 90s kids. 90s kids. I think 90s kids understand this well, together with Dampa, right? Okay. Do you have this, Patrick? You don't have this in Iran? All right. What a poor childhood. No homo here, can I just say that while I was showing that picture, it brought you some memories from childhood. That's precisely what was happening to David. He was thinking about where he used to get water. I tell you what, when your situations are bleak, you become nostalgic. When our situations are bleak, somehow we become nostalgic, we become emotional. You remember, you're having a hard time with your exam, you start thinking about your mommy's adobo. Eh, pero na nandun ka naman, ayaw mo naman yung adobo na yon. Are you catching this? And that is basically what was happening to David. He was just thinking about where he used to get water. And I want you to catch this. While he was murmuring, the Bible says, three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines. Okay, the Bible is very clear. 300 men stepped in to hear the call for service and stepped out to serve. And I want you to catch it. David was not giving them orders to do so. In fact, Psalm 142 tells you that he was just what? He was basically talking to God. And these three guys right here heard what he was saying, and they didn't even consult David. They went straight to the camp of the Philistines to get him his nature spring. Three men basically stepped out in faith. Okay, they hear the call for service. I want you to understand this. You know, last week, for two Sundays now, based on the data that we have, for the past two Sundays, there's been 1,250 people in this church. I want you to imagine with me. Imagine if a good fraction of us, imagine if a good fraction of the 1,250 would start hearing the call for service and start stepping out in faith. Imagine what's going to happen in the face of this city. The truth is, if Christians in this city would start serving God like there's no tomorrow, this city will be too small for the gospel. The face of this city, the kings and queens will be seated right beside you. Kings and queens of this city will be seated right beside you, worshiping the God that you serve. Like what I told you, and I have several pictures right here. This was our center before. This was the ladies' CR right here. I was assigned to the men's CR, just like that one, at least once a month. And whenever I get to have that assignment, it doesn't bother me at all. Well, it's okay for me being a guy, but look at the ladies right here. Coming off from school, coming off from work, they would go straight, okay, into our center, the former tavern, and start cleaning the CR on a Saturday afternoon to prepare it for the service the next day. The call for service, sacrificial. Now look at this one. You know, sometimes we think, you know, where are these people now? The truth is, I don't know. I do know that they're somewhere in Facebook, of course. But here's what I know. At a certain point in their life, when they were serving, God basically changed their character. And it would prepare them to become, you know, wives in the future, mothers in the future, and be productive in the society where God has brought them in. Another picture that I have here is in the same center right there. If you notice, the floor is color red. And that was a rubber vinyl flooring. Who may have tried attending a service at the former tavern? I think 2 years. Can I see your hand for a while? You've tried attending? Okay, very good. This place is quite old. When we got this place to rent out, we stayed there for 7 years. And if you notice, the floor is colored green. And one by one, we chipped off that vinyl flooring. And it took us, guess what? It took us 1 week to do that. And there's like more than 10 of us doing that. Because it was just so hard. But nonetheless, people were enjoying while they were doing that. The truth is, you get to enjoy, you know, serving the Lord. If you are in a company of people serving, we're also enjoying what they're doing. And just like the three mighty men, you know, these are three mighty ladies that we have. The one on your right, is her name is Jean. She's actually a campus missionary in Victory Pagadian right now. The one to the far left is actually Rachel, who is our point person in Tagbilaran, where we're going to plant a church this coming June. Okay? Now, verse 16, it says, there are three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and carried it and brought it to David. Okay, they basically risked their life to basically serve the man whom they call a leader. I want to honor that one person here this morning. I want to honor Glevin for what he's doing in the technical ministry. He's right there, is our technical ministry head. I don't understand, for so many of us here, we're pouring in, you know, so much work, and we're so thankful for what you're doing. It's just that, you know, I can put all of your pictures on the screen right here. You know, Glevin right here, I would arrive in the office on weekdays. Before I get there, he's already there, and he's coming from work. You know, this guy basically brought volunteerism in a whole new level in this ministry. A few more things, and I'm going to end. Here's the thing. Those three men did not wait to be told. They didn't wait to be told. I'm talking to the men now. Men, these three men right here, they didn't wait to be told. They started initiating. For you to initiate something, there has to be a burden in you. It has to be something that is burning in your heart. And that is basically a call for service, for that matter. I feel like we must be a group of people who are more than willing to put down our PSPs, turn off the YouTube for a while, and start serving God. That way, we will grow as Christians for that matter. My wife and I, when we were volunteers in this ministry, before we got married, when we were students, we always understood one thing. When our leaders would start asking us to do something, we have what we call CID. You know what it's called? It's basically telling our pastor, our leader, Pastor, consider it done. Meaning to say, that is a good attitude towards volunteerism. Consider it done. Meaning to say, you said it, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. By the time you need it, it's already done. And that is a good attitude to have. And I tell you what, when we were having that, when we were doing this kind of attitude called consider it done, we did not have an RM. You know what an RM is? Wrong motive. Okay? Joke lang yun, joke yun, joke. Meaning to say, we didn't have it. I didn't have it in my heart. You know, while cleaning the CR, I'm already thinking, I'm cleaning the CR now because 6 months from now, I'm going to preach on the pulpit. Listen, we don't just celebrate pulpit ministry. We don't build men just to shine on the pulpit. Hello? We build men who would learn how to serve and serve it like there's no tomorrow for that matter. This is not what we celebrate right here. Not the only thing that we celebrate. One guy would come up to me back in Tavern and tell me, you know, Archie, I would want to sing. I wasn't a pastor then. I would want to sing, and you know, this guy is new in the church. You know what I told him? I gave him a broom. Here, start singing this broom. Start cleaning the center first. I gave him a map. Go clean the center. I'm not going to do that now, of course. We have a better process now, and we are a little less legalistic for that matter. But I would come to their faces and tell them, if you want to do that, learn how to do this first. Learn to sing in the CR. There's no one there. Kasi pag kumakanta ka sa CR, guess what? Ang ganda ng boses mo. No complaints, no whatever. It's just you and God. I don't know. When I'm in the CR, I feel like my voice is good. I step out of the CR, my wife hears me. It's not good. That is why it takes faith to serve. Because it is inconvenient. It is uncomfortable. My wife was a long-time kids teacher. She was serving at high as a long-time kids teacher. Okay, look at that picture. That's Genty on your left. And that's Giselle, you know, being part of the kids' ministry. And this was a long time ago. And look at this one. I have another person here who has been serving this church for the longest time also. Look at this girl right here. That's Eva right there. She is her EA. She's her office custodian. Right there at the back is actually me when I was still the head usher for this ministry. I want to show you another picture that deserves to be a profile picture. The mighty man basically walked or went out to get water 19 kilometers away. What does it mean? They went the extra mile. You serve God, you're basically going the extra mile. An extra mile talks about basically excellence in what we're doing. I tell you what, it is in this church that I learned what excellence means. This church, this ministry, basically taught me what excellence is all about. That you know what? Look at this one. We live in a nation who has no scarcity of mediocrity and no prevalence of excellence. So once you present how excellent God is, it becomes attractive to the people around you. People would want to serve an excellent God. God is an excellent God. That's why we go the extra mile. And it's all worth it for that matter. You know, I've been part of different organizations in the past. You know, I was part of WWF, not wrestling, huh? Worldwide Fan for Nature. I was part of Harry Bond Foundation. I was part of different organizations. Now maybe you're part of World Vision. All of these are great causes for that matter. But I tell you what, imagine the joy of serving the church wherein the joy that you have is a person getting to know the name and surrendering their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Means every work that I do here basically is not in vain. A few more things, I'm going to end. It says here, but he would not drink of it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the man who went at the risk of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. Can you imagine this? This guy risked their lives. They brought the water to David. Sabi ni David, wow, bro, thank you, ah. Tapos binuksan niya, binuhos niya sa ground. Ang biro ko, David. El Nino. Halos mamatay kami. Ilang kilometers yung tinakbo namin para makuha lang yung water na yan. What is David trying to do here? Look at this one. He said, He would not drink it. He poured it out to the Lord. He was like saying, this kind of worship, this kind of service only belongs to God. Ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, you are not serving your pastor. At the end of the day, you are not serving the church. You are serving God Himself. In the menial and big things that you're doing, you do it for God. If I understand that I do things for God, I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to pour it out, you know, because I'm basically giving it to God. That's why Paul was like saying, if you remember, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. I want to end with this one. I want you to understand this. Our service is an act of worship. Our service is an act of worship.